If you'll take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 11, and we're going to begin in verse 28 today. And, you know, it's good every once in a while to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a good idea? I thought it was a good idea. But we're going to continue to do this for a little bit of time here. And it's good for us to think about things in perspective. How many of you understand perspective, right? Most of the time, we view things in our own perspective. But can I tell you the best way to live is to live by viewing things by God's perspective. That's really the best way to do it. And so that's what we're trying to accomplish here through these messages. So if you'll please stand out of love and respect for God's word, if you are physically able, we are here in John chapter 11. We'll read responsively verses 28 through 44. You can join me on the even verses out loud. I'll read the odd verses by myself. And as we go through here in John chapter 11, beginning together in verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been a dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Well, over in Isaiah 53, we're given a prophecy of the Son of God and how he is described in this Old Testament prophecy. It says in verse 1, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way,
And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. You understand that this is speaking, of course, of the Lord and his sacrifice for our salvation. But did you understand in the description that Jesus was noted as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, etc.? The thing that helps us understand all of this, when the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life," when it tells us about that, and then it tells us about Jesus who came because of that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So Jesus came, and he talks about love and him loving the Father and him loving us and caring for us. You understand that Jesus understands. He understands. We know several times in Scripture, Jesus is grieved in the spirit, or he has heaviness of spirit and such in his life. Can you think of a time in the Scriptures where Jesus is recorded as laughing? I can't. Or telling a joke. You know, that'd be a cool... Now, does that mean that there weren't happy times? No, that's not what I'm saying. But do you understand? This is... Jesus feels mankind. When Jesus... For the time that Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus going around preaching the kingdom of God and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," what is his focus? The people around him. I mean, how many times did he tell his disciples that he wasn't there to be served, he was there to serve? Right? And how many times did he neglect the things of his own needs to meet the needs of others? And go out of his way. Like he said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Why? Right? Because remember, the Jews and Samaritans, they weren't on really good terms, were they? And then they're like, okay, we don't have to go through Samaria to get where we're going. We can go the other way. No, but he had an appointment there with a woman that had been married 5 times and was living with a 6th husband. Well, wasn't even yet her husband. But you understand, why? Why for someone like that? Well, why go over to Gadara and meet up with a maniac? You know, why would he do all these things? Why would he even bother to go back to his own hometown when he knew they weren't going to receive him? Why? Because he had a focus. Jesus Christ cares. Today we're going to be talking about compassion. Do you understand that Jesus feels the sorrow that you and I feel? He's a man of sorrows, the Bible says, acquainted with grief. He understands. He knows that we have these things because of the burden of sin. For by one man, sin entered into the world. Everybody understand this, right? In Romans, it tells us that. And it talks about the curse of sin. And you know what? Jesus understands it. We just talked about creation today in our Sunday school class. He was there in creation. The mankind, we were created in God's image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows our frame. He knows our frailties. He understands what's going on and how we're broken and how he gets it. He understands. He knows who we are. He knows what we are. These people were important to him. God had time to build a human relationship with some people. Mary and Martha and Lazarus. These people were not just anybody. They were close friends. He stayed in their home, etc. Right? We know Mary had anointed his feet with her hair and all these things. He had a relationship with them. And of course, when Martha came, and he talked to Martha and he said, hey, you know, you've got to believe these things. And she goes and tells Mary, and Mary comes and says to him, you know, if you'd have come, my brother had not died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. This is not fake. He really cared that these people were sad. He really cared that these people had a problem. And you know what? I think maybe even we could even dare to say that perhaps he wished that he didn't have to do this to these people. Do you know what I mean? Remember, he told his disciples that it was necessary for this to happen so that people could believe and people could be, that the Son of Man could be glorified. And I think maybe this is just a thought, but maybe for a moment, as he saw Mary's real tears and Mary's real sorrow, that he thought, boy, I wish we didn't have to do this to her, this person that I love and care for. You get what I'm talking about? But he said he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. And we see he then asked, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And of course we have the most well-known famous verse in all of Scripture, right? The one everybody likes to quote. Jesus. No, he didn't cry. That's the wrong translation, brother. Jesus wept. Okay? Jesus wept. And you know what? That wasn't fake tears. It wasn't just a put on. It wasn't just a show. You know, he didn't go find a good old onion and crack it open and just... one of my daughters, we like onions. We're an onion family. Or of course they call them around our house onions, you know, because you got to pronounce all the syllables there. But one of our daughters, Zara, she from the time she's a little girl, well, she's still a little girl, but littler girl, she always believed that if you just didn't look at them, you wouldn't cry. You know, just don't. Oh, you're cutting onions. Don't look at the onions. Oh, my finger. I guess that's her belief. She believes that if you don't look at them, it won't bring tears to your eyes. But no, it wasn't fake. The word compassion is described or defined as a suffering with another, a painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow excited by the distress or misfortune of another, pity, commiseration. Compassion is a mixed passion. Notice that word passion is in compassion, right? It's a mixed passion. It's a compounded love. It is compounded of love and sorrow. So guess what? When we see in the scriptures many verses that talk about compassion, and a lot of them have to do with Jesus Christ having compassion. Because he understands our frailty, because he understands our sin nature and the sorrow and misery of sin, he not only has sorrow for us, or if you will, pity for us, or sympathy for us, because he understands our sorrow, but it's because of his love mixed with the sorrow that he has for us that gives compassion. Do you understand that? See, we can have sorrow for someone, but until we mix it together with a love for them, it's not compassion. Everybody understand? You know, you can say, well, I'm sorry that happened to you, right? But if you love those people, then you can now have compassion for them. So we're going to talk about what made the difference here. Jesus, when he saw Mary come, and when he saw the Jews that were with her coming, they were weeping, he groaned in the spirit. He felt that sorrow. But what was it mixed with? His great love for them. Because what is Jesus? What is God? Love. Right? And really, it's the greatest kind of love. And of course, we know that the Bible talks about that kind of love and how if we do all these works and we do all these things without that deep love, then it's nothing, is it? It's empty. That's what makes it so special. And that's what makes this example in Scripture so special. We know that Jesus truly felt the sorrow and pity and sympathy for these people. But it was his great love. And even in verse 36 it says, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him." So let's look at this on several different planes today as we talk about this thing of compassion. And this example of Christ here in John chapter 11. First of all, we just need to have a real, genuine compassion for people. Just people. Okay? Why did Jesus Christ come into this world? For people. Okay? Because God loves people. Now we're just gonna put it in the general context here. And listen, for all you pet owners, I don't hate pets. Okay? I don't. I just want to put that out there because I'm gonna say something that's probably gonna put you the wrong way. God did not come for pets. Okay? And contrary to popular Hollywood theology, all dogs don't go to heaven. Okay? And let me just clarify, no dogs go to heaven. Okay? to be fair, as far as I can tell in Scripture, the only animal that's going to be in heaven is a horse. Okay? Those white horses. I'm sorry, is Hank white? He's not white, is he? Somewhat white. Okay, so he'll be partially there. we have the beast, we have the one with the head of the lion and the head of the eagle and all those strange creatures. But I just don't see, and if you're a cat lover, God bless you. I like cats, I'm just fine. I don't mind them, but... Jesus didn't come to save pets. Okay? He came to save people. God's crowning creation is man. Okay? Mankind is what we're concerned with. I'm not for mistreating pets or mistreating animals. I'm not at all for that. I just think some people give a little too much attention toward them. Okay? Because pets are not people. Sorry. I didn't mean to burst your bubble today. But you understand that God came and put a plan of redemption in for people. Not for animals. And not for trees, all you tree huggers out there. God didn't come to save the earth, okay? Save the planet. No, it's people! So, you know, I'm going to get myself in so much trouble today. Okay, I see the commercials for the APCEF or whatever it is called, the pet people that want to save all the little dogs in the cages. What about the people? Okay, we're all screwed up. We're all upside down on this thing, okay? People are worried about saving the environment. They're worried about saving the owls. They're worried about saving dogs and cats. What about people? Okay, even the devil is kind of turning people from caring for people. I mean, just a general compassion and caring for people. Jesus cared about people. And not every circumstance that the Lord finds himself in is necessarily salvation intertwined. Okay, like the feeding of the 5,000, did all those people get saved? Not necessarily, but what did he care about? Feeding the people. He just had compassion on them. They were hungry. They needed something to eat. You know, sometimes when he would go by a city or go by a place and he'd see someone that had a withered leg or a hand or was blind or had leprosy. And listen, salvation was not always connected with these things per se. Now, I'm sure that his influence led them in that direction eventually by most accounts. But he just loved people. He didn't want to see them in that state. He didn't want to see them just, you know, grasping around, not being able to see, or seeing them sitting on a mat and not having the ability to walk. And because of his great love wherewith he loved us. And God has a compassion for people. God cares about people. We know it's a soul loved love for people. In Exodus chapter 3, the Bible records, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry. Now, at this time, you understand, the people of God were not serving God. But yet he heard their cry, and he's going to send a deliverer to them, because he has compassion. In Psalm 144, David records, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. You understand that God is a God full of compassion. And you know what David says? He says to all. You know, there's the song in our hymn book that it talks about, how can we go through things and watch the wicked people prosper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You understand that God is full of compassion. He's slow to mercy. He's slow to wrath and slow to judgment and his great mercy and he's full of compassion and he's gracious. And the Bible even says that God wishes that all should come to repentance. None should perish. That's to all people. You know that God offers salvation to all? You know that salvation is a whosoever will may come salvation. You know that the vilest human being on this earth right now can have salvation. They can. And guess what? I'll take it a step further. God wants them to have salvation. Whoa. Why? Because that's the kind of God God is. Are there people out there that are just awful? Yes. And guess what? Our natural tendency is to hate them. Isn't it? To despise them. As we go out and knock on doors and talk to people, as a door opens, our natural tendency is to what? Profile. Because that's what we as human beings do, right? Oh! That's that kind of person. And we in our flesh, we immediately judge, oh, they'll not get saved. How do you know? Do you know that? I think I've told the story before, but I like telling it. Pastor Lassiter, as a young assistant, was out soul winning and door knocking, and he came across this really rough biker type, scary weightlifting, muscle-bound man, out soul-winning, rough and gruff and mean. What do you want?
Nothing.
You know, blaring the rock music, lifting weights in his garage, just, you know, motorcycle in the driveway, slick bald head, earrings, tattoos. I mean, just, one of the sweetest men I ever knew. Where Lassiter had the boldness and compassion to witness to that man. He passed away of cancer a couple years ago. You don't know. You don't know. Compassion to people. You know, I think in standing for right and righteousness, in standing for truth, which I am for 100%, somehow we've equated that with losing compassion. I don't know how we've done that. Just because you toe the line and stand by standards and stand for truth doesn't mean you can't have a heart. Doesn't mean you can't understand. Because guess what? But for the grace of God, we would be there too. Jesus had a compassion for people. Now, we certainly understand his compassion for these loved ones of his. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. But do you understand when he saw Mary weeping and the Jews that were with her weeping? He groaned in his spirit and he was troubled. He cared for those that hated him. He loved those that hated him. Those Jews were not for him. They even commented in our passage of scripture that we read, "Hey, isn't this the guy? Couldn't he have? Why didn't he?" And yet he still loved them. And actually, he was doing all of this for them. You know what that is? That's compassion. Not only do we need to have compassion for people, we need to have compassion for the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. I may have made mention of this before. You have to forgive me. I forget what I even say sometimes and to whom I've said it. My wife probably despises that more than anybody. Because I think I tell her things and I haven't told her. I told somebody else. You men never do that, do you? Okay, no. I didn't think so. And I'll just look at her sometimes. I told you. She's like, I'm like, I didn't? Anyways, then who did I tell? That's the next question I ask. Because I told somebody. I told myself, probably. What was I talking about? I forgot. See? I don't know if you remember this, but again, I'm dating myself. There used to be a commercial back when cell phones were just kind of getting going, you know, and there was a big battle about signal strength, you know, to get the company that has the best signal strength, right? And there was this one commercial, and it had superimposed over the people. It was a real people commercial, okay? But superimposed over the top of the people was the little bar liney thingy, you know, your signal bars, you know, that little scale of signals, okay? Like one bar, two bars, three bars, etc. Okay, and you know, in the commercial, over every person as they were walking down the street, you know, with their cell phone, or as they were sitting at the coffee shop with their cell phone, or as they were, you know, whatever with their cell phone, there was everybody had these little bars, right? Some had one bar, some had five bars, but you could see visually over everybody's head these little bars of their signal strength. Okay, obviously that's not there, right? Okay, but you could, is it? let me see how many bars I have here. I got five. Okay, I mean, all right. That's great. Now, so we you don't see that. But imagine if you could, right? So when I say that we need to have compassion for the lost, are we seeing, hey, they have salvation. They have salvation. They have salvation. They don't. They don't. They don't. And do we care? Or when you just look at people, you just see people. You say, well, you've been talking about in James how God's not a respecter of persons and we shouldn't judge people. I'm not talking about judging. I'm just talking about, do you care if somebody's lost or saved? Because that's compassion. Don't ever forget what it was to be lost and without Christ. Because if you'll remember that every day, you'll care about lost people. Because you'll feel their pain. You'll feel their sorrow. You'll feel their hopelessness. Because that's what we were without Christ. Wondering if we're going to heaven. Afraid to even go to sleep. Because if you don't wake up, where are you going to spend eternity? There was a time you didn't know that. But now you do. Because of Jesus Christ. There's a time where we were lost and drowning in a state of our sinful nature. And we didn't have a Savior. But now we have a Savior. And that should compel us. That should bind us to have compassion for the lost. You should care if the person giving you a coffee at Starbucks is going to heaven or hell. Jesus said, because of his compassion, I want to raise Lazarus from the dead so that these people can be saved. So these people who are questioning me, these people who don't think that I'm the Messiah will know that I'm the Messiah. And it says here that these Jews which came and they saw the things that he did, they believed on him. Because they saw Lazarus come forth out of the grave. You know what? Jesus acted upon his compassion. He did genuinely care for these lost Jews that were with Mary and Martha in their time of distress. But he did something about it. So that he could be glorified in their sight. And so that they would believe on him and have salvation. What are you doing about it? You say, oh, I care about lost people. Let me quote James. Show me your faith by your works. Show me that you have compassion by handing them a gospel tract. Show me the compassion. Don't just say, I'm going to say this, compassion without works is dead, being alone. No, I'm not changing the scriptures. It's just borrowing a phrase. It's true. Hey, if you say, I have compassion, but don't show that compassion, do you have compassion, really? Because guess what compassion is? It's sorrow mingled with love. It's compounded love and sorrow, pity, sympathy, suffering with another. That's compassion. We need to have a compassion for the lost. Nobody says you have to like lost people. Lost people are wicked. Lost people are sinful. They hurt people. They do bad things. Why? Because they're lost. Nobody says you have to like them. But guess what a good Christian does? Loves them. Do you think that Jesus liked being persecuted by the Jews? No. But he loved them enough to tell them anyways. To go out of his way, listen to this, to go out of his way even to suffer with Mary and Martha so that the Jews could be saved. Now that's dedication. That's compassion. He showed his compassion to the lost. We, likewise, should show our compassion to the lost. Hey, remember Zacchaeus? He was that wee little man that ran and jumped into the sycamore tree so he could see Jesus? Remember that guy? And Jesus said, came out to him and said, hey, come on down. I got to go to your house today. And he went and he met with him. And those pious Jews again.
Well, why is he going to the house of a sinner to eat with sinners? Blah, 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 blah.
Why? Because he loved them. because he had compassion on them. And guess what? Out of his own accord, out of his own free will, and listen, Zacchaeus, we believe, got saved. Why? Because his life changed. Remember, he was a money-grabbing publican. He was trying to promote himself and such, and he got saved, and he said, "Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." You understand that this all happened because Zacchaeus got saved. He trusted Christ as his Savior. Why? That changed his perspective. That changed how he viewed things. You understand that the Son of Man was come to seek and to save that which was lost. Was Zacchaeus lost? Yeah, he needed salvation. He had compassion on him. And Zacchaeus, in turn, after he was saved, he began to have compassion too. Because he understood. We need to have a compassion for the lost. We need to have a compassion for people. In Jude, we know this. The Bible says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So he's making a difference here, right? He's saying there are some who are lost, and there are some who are saved. And then he makes the statement that we should be of a compassionate spirit. He says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, even hating the garment spotted by the flesh. That's the way we're supposed to see the lost. Oh yes, they're mockers. Yes, they're ungodly. They separate themselves. They're sensual. They have not the Spirit of God. But we're supposed to care that they don't. And on some, having compassion make a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You know what? Even in that second part, saving with fear, pulling them out of fire, that's compassion. Just shown in a different way. You understand that I discipline my children because I love them? So, discipline is love. You say, well, it doesn't sound like it, it doesn't feel like it. Well, it is. So, on some, having a soft heart and dealing with them that way to show them Christ is one way, but some you gotta kinda, you need Jesus. You gotta wake them up. Okay, that was in the Greek, translation there. No, you gotta get them to that place where they just, otherwise they won't listen. You've dealt with people. You can't deal with all people the same way. So we've got to have compassion. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were dealt with roughly. They were dealt with wrongly. They were thrust into the prison. They were beaten. They were whipped. They were put into the inner prison because the jailer who was charged to keep them safely, when he had received such a charge, he did not want to mess this up. So he put them in the worst place of the prison that he could. The safest place. Well, the safest place in the prison just happened to be the worst place in the prison. He was not a nice man. He was a jailer. That's what he did. That was his profession. And I'm sure he didn't treat them kindly. I'm sure he didn't put a little mint on their pillow and offer them room service. Uh-uh. But yet when they sang at midnight and the place was shaken and all the doors were jarred open and all the bands of were loosed, guess what Paul and Silas decided to do? Hey! Don't kill yourself! We're all here. What did that compassion that Paul and Silas had on that man do? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? You never know what your compassion is going to do in someone's life. Someone who's lost and undone, without hope, without Christ. You being kind, you saying a kind word, maybe a kind deed, maybe even something they don't deserve. Listen, I'm a human being. I know you probably don't believe that. You think I'm some kind of alien or something. But there have been times where I have said to myself, I'm not treating this person nice because they're not nice. When that's probably the time I should have treated someone nice to make a difference in their life. You know that waitress that doesn't deserve the tip? Who's treated you terribly? And you leave them a nickel instead of $25? Maybe if you'd have left them $25 in a track, would have made a difference in their life. Because they know how they serve you or don't serve you, right? But do you know what they're going through? I've heard stories of waitresses who've been having a bad day. Their husband left them. The kids were all, whatever. And CPS was hounding them and just having a bad day. And they threw your sandwich on the table and treated you roughly. And someone left a big tip and a gospel tract. And the waitress came chasing them out the door. Just flubbering all over herself. Wanting to know about Jesus. Because it made a difference in their life. You don't know. Have compassion for lost people. Have compassion for people in general. That's what God would have us to do. And then lastly, but certainly not least, I don't know why it is, but Christians seem to be cannibalistic. We'll love people, and we'll love lost people, but when it comes to loving brothers and sisters in Christ, but you don't know what they did to me. You're right, I don't. I don't think I want to either. We need to have compassion toward the saved. I think we forget that, don't we? Well, they should know better. Yeah, they should. But let me guess, you know everything. And you don't ever make a mistake. And you never fall flat on your face. And you never talk to anybody the wrong way, right? And you... And be ye kind, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven. Yeah. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Galatians says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, crucify him! No, doesn't say that. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Folks, we just need to change our mindset on these things. Jesus accomplished all three of these tasks in this passage of scripture in John chapter 11. He had compassion on people. He had compassion on the lost, and he had compassion on the saved. He loved Mary. He loved Martha. He loved Lazarus. He had compassion on them. He loved the people that hated him. He wanted to see them come to know Christ as their Savior. He cared for them. He was involved with their grief and their sorrow. And he loved them and wanted the best for them. You understand that we've got to change the way we think. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to make sure that we follow what 1 Peter says. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit the blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. That's the mind we need to have. A mind of compassion.